You're listening to West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. Imagine you're in a foreign land and you don't speak the language, nor do you understand the customs. That's how some urban students feel on a college campus. So Deborah Beale started the Posse Foundation after she found that some urban kids, although smart, would become at risk of dropping out. Beale speaks Sunday at the commencement at Kalamazoo College. Kay will be welcoming its 10th class of Posse Scholars this fall. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You started the Posse Foundation when you were 23 years old, and there's an interesting story behind that.
Yes, Posse started in 1989 when the word Posse was still a cool word in the youth culture. You know, it meant my group of friends, the people who backed me up. And there was a student who had dropped out of college, and he said, "I never would have dropped out if I had my posse with me." And we thought, what a great idea. Why not send a team or a posse of students together to college so they could back each other up? And that way, if you grew up in the Bronx and you ended up in, you know, Greencastle, Indiana, or Kalamazoo, Michigan, you'd be a little less likely to say, "Oh my God, I'm going home."
Was that person a friend of yours, or you just happened to run into them somewhere?
No, I was working in a youth organization called the City Kids Foundation in New York City, and it was an after-school youth repertory company. And there were a lot of kids that we knew who were really, really smart, really talented, really capable. There just was no reason that they couldn't succeed at an elite college or a selective university. And this was one of those students.
I was curious, you're 23 years old. Had you graduated from college at that point?
I had gone to Brandeis University. I was kind of fresh out of college, and I was lucky enough to get a job in an after-school program that was a wonderful, wonderful program, working with kids from all over New York City. I was traveling to different high schools every week, running workshops on leadership and getting kids to think about how important their voice is, and getting them to think about how they can speak out about issues they care about.
What was your major at Brandeis?
I was an English major.
So what I'm trying to imagine here is you're 23 years old. Something clicks in your mind when the student shares this story. And what do you do from that point to start this organization? Is this something you did kind of in your free time, or you did it through that particular organization that you were working with?
Yeah, we started this program at the organization where I worked. And sometimes the best ideas are not that complicated, right? They're just simple ideas. And often it's really about listening. And I think we were good listeners. We were listening to young people who were saying, you know, I go to these colleges and universities, and we feel culture shock. We feel like we don't fit in, or whatever it was. And they were saying, if we could bring some of our community with us, if we could bring a posse or a team, we might feel like we would fit in a little better. And Posse is an automatic community. You know, I was only 23 years old when this started, but there were a whole network of people that helped make the program happen. Vanderbilt University was the first institution to say, "We're interested in trying this idea." There was no track record. There was nothing behind it, but they were willing to take a chance. And I'm so glad they did, because now, 29 years later, more than 8,000 Posse Scholars have gone to college. They've won an astounding $1.2 billion in scholarships from our partner colleges and universities, and they graduate at rates of over 90%. So if it hadn't been for Vanderbilt, I don't think there'd be a Posse program.
How did you navigate your way through this? Did you kind of learn as you went along?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because in the beginning, you just have an idea. You don't have a whole developed program. And that's what Posse was. It was an idea. But over time, and it didn't take that long, with Posse Scholars on the campus at Vanderbilt, the program components began to develop. And, you know, we added things like the dynamic assessment process. That's how we recruit and interview students. It's a non-traditional way of identifying talent. We developed the pre-collegiate training program, which is an 8-month after-school program where students think about leadership and team building and academic excellence before they go to college. We have a campus program, which includes mentors and retreats and campus visits. And then we have a career and alumni program, which connects our Posse scholars to jobs and internships. So it's now one of the most comprehensive programs of its kind in the United States.
We do have it here at Kalamazoo College. Can you give us an overview of what the intent of the program is?
Kalamazoo, which they're an extraordinary partner, such a strong partner, and we love them, takes a posse every year from Posse Los Angeles. So there are 10 students that are in a posse. There are four posses on a campus, right, in each year. So there's 40 posse scholars on the Kalamazoo campus every year. And they've been a partner for the past decade. So it's significant.
But in general, who is the target audience for this program at any of your partner schools?
So posse, yeah, we're looking for young people who are just very motivated, very ambitious, who show tremendous leadership potential. This year, just to give you a sense of how selective the program is, nationally, we operate out of 10 cities. Los Angeles is one of them. We saw 17,000 nominees. 17,000 kids were nominated for 750 scholarship slots.
Wow.
So when a student from Los Angeles wins a Posse scholarship to go to Kalamazoo, she's winning an amazing opportunity, and she's been selected out of thousands of her peers.
Can you talk a little bit about that assessment process? What are you looking for when you do that process?
We all think about college admissions in a very specific way. We think about SAT scores or ACT scores. We think about GPA and the college essay and all the things that we fill out on an application. And those things are important for college admissions officers when they're deciding who will be in their incoming class. But there are so many kids that get missed, so many young people who have the potential to succeed at an academically competitive institution, but who might not show up on the radar screen. Maybe they're not going to a high school that's ranked highly enough, or maybe they've been in a life situation where they struggled. But there are a lot of wonderful kids who could show up if you used a different assessment method, and that's what we've designed, something called the dynamic assessment process. We bring in young people who've been nominated for the program, and they participate in a large group interview. There's probably 100 students in a room at a time. And for the same amount of time it takes to go through the SAT, they're participating in small group activities where they might be building a robot out of Legos or running a discussion lab, you know, running a discussion with their peers or creating a public service announcement and presenting it. But all of these things allow evaluators to look for the intangible, right? Leadership and ability to work well in a team and communication skills and problem-solving skills, things that don't show up on a piece of paper. And that's our first screen. And it's wonderful because we find incredibly talented students that way.
And the students that you are targeting, they do come from urban areas. Are they mostly racial minorities?
We operate out of, you know, big cities, right? So we're in Los Angeles, New York City, New Orleans, Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Miami, Houston, cities like that. And these public school systems are have very, very diverse student bodies. Mm-hmm. So yes, most of our kids will represent the diversity from the cities in which they live. Many of them are coming from, you know, lower socioeconomic backgrounds, but we're not screening for race. We're not screening for need. We're really looking for kids who stand out as leaders. And we are, in fact, a leadership and diversity program. So we identify young people who can be leaders and can represent the diversity of the United States.
You're listening to West Southwest on WMUK. We're talking to Deborah Beal, founder of the Posse Foundation. It recruits talented urban students for elite colleges and helps them succeed. You mentioned about the over 90% plus kind of graduation rate for your scholarship recipients. How does that compare to other students that might not get that type of support and maybe from a challenging background?
what is usually the case? What do the stats say in a comparative way?
Ponzi scholars graduate at, you know, the same rate as the general student body of the colleges and universities they go to, and often they're graduating at higher rates. And if you're looking at students in general around the United States, it's really, really impressive to see these very high graduation rates.
I guess kind of what I was getting at, maybe I'm not phrasing it correctly, is the academic performance higher than maybe a student that doesn't get help going without supports from a disadvantaged background?
I can answer it in a couple of ways, right? Generally, white and Asian students in the United States go to college at higher rates and graduate at higher rates generally than black and Latino students. And there are many, many reasons for that. And programs that provide supports for students who might be graduating at lower rates are great because they help, you know, they help improve the odds. But Posse scholars, I think, are often mislabeled as students who need extra support. They're really, you know, historically in this country, we very narrowly defined the term merit, right? We use the word merit, a merit scholarship, to mean a scholarship that goes to a student with a high SAT score. But merit, the merit scholarships, the definition of merit scholarships really should include more than a test score. Students who are extraordinarily talented in other ways, right, who might be able to lead discussion on a college campus in a way that's valuable, especially during this time that we're living in, when there's a lot of struggle around and challenge related to racism and other kinds of bigotry. So students who are prepared to lead discussions like that and comfortable leading discussions like that are very valuable. And we've created with our partner schools an opportunity to acknowledge them and reward them for the skill set they're bringing to these campuses. So I think they're succeeding at these very high rates because they've got the talent and the ability to do so. Do they have programmatic support? Yes, they have these amazing mentors, faculty, and others on campus who support the students throughout the year. I have to say that President Gonzalez has been an extraordinary leader because he so believes in the program and is an advocate for this, and he makes it an institutional priority to care about diversity and leadership. And then there's a million other people, right? Funders and supporters like John Stryker who invest in this type of programming. So I'm not dodging the question. I'm just reframing it a little bit because I think a lot of times people see Posse scholars as poor kids who need help, but really they're extraordinarily talented kids who bring much to the institution as well.
And I absolutely understand what you're saying. Here's also the case, and I don't know if you all have found this to be true. Sometimes if you're a student of color, regardless if you're academically talented or not, you can feel alienated and isolated and not connect. So I can understand you reframing the question. You're finding other ways to identify students that can perform and what the Posse program does. And I believe the data supports is that students who feel plugged in at their campus, regardless of whether it's a Posse program or something else, have a higher likelihood of succeeding and staying at that institution.
That is exactly right. And that's a great point to make because, and Vincent Tinto did a lot of research on that, right? Students who feel like they connect, they find a sense of belonging, are much more likely to persist and graduate than students who don't find that.
And I think that's what your Posse program does. It provides that sense of community. They have a cohort that looks like them and is from the very same community that they are from.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What do you see as the overarching value of this program to the student and to society as a whole?
Oh, that's such a great question. A lot of times people think of Posse as a college success program, but it's really only half the story. With our partner colleges like Kalamazoo, we are very deliberately working to build a new kind of leadership network for the United States, one that reflects the diversity of the population in a way that That's very exciting. When Posse scholars graduate with a Kalamazoo degree, they're now armed with this golden ticket, right? They can go out and get the best jobs. But more importantly, they can rise to positions of leadership, and they can be CEOs and members of Congress. They can be senators and college presidents. And when they are sitting in those seats at the tables where decisions get made, they will have the kind of understanding that's needed to represent the voices of all Americans. And that's a beautiful thing, and that's our ultimate goal.
Now, I see that you won the MacArthur Grant. They call it the Genius Grant. What did you do with that? Did you do anything in particular?
No, well, I'm doing Posse. It was very exciting to win that. You know, there's no hint that that's going to come to you. And I remember being floored. I remember crying when I got the phone call, and I think I felt maybe a little bit of what Posse scholars feel when they get the phone call from the admissions dean saying, "Guess what? You're going to college. You've won this amazing honor." But that was a great moment when that happened, and I think it acknowledged the importance of Posse scholars.
Now, every student who is in the Posse program, do they get a full ride? And is that scholarship provided by the partner school or by your organization?
It's provided by the partner school. So Kalamazoo College and our 55 other colleges and universities that partner with us provide full tuition scholarships for every single Posse scholar on campus, and it's 4 years. So it's an enormously significant investment in these young people.
So if a student was interested in this program, must they be nominated by someone else, or can they nominate themselves? And in what year do they apply?
Yes, they're nominated. So each high school and many community-based organizations or churches, and they can nominate students for the Posse program in the cities that we operate out of. Oh, and you asked what year. So we interview students their senior year in high school.
Do you have something that you've not tackled with the program that you're wanting to do in the future?
That's a great question. No one's ever asked me that. Two things. One is we're working on developing programming for our alumni with our corporate partners so that there can be more direct points of contact once our scholars graduate and enter the workforce so that they can really have access to the jobs that are exciting. The other thing that we are designing is our consulting program. So we do a lot of diversity and inclusion consulting around the country, not just for colleges and universities, but for other nonprofits and for corporate, so that other types of environments can become more welcoming to people from all backgrounds.
You're doing that right now, or you're looking to do that?
We're doing that. We've been doing that for the past 5 years.
And speaking of alumni, my understanding is that there is a Posse scholar on your staff from Kalamazoo College, Asia Morales. She graduated in 2015, and she works at your headquarters in New York City and is on Kalamazoo College's Board of Trustees.
So Asia is fantastic. She's a Kalamazoo Posse alum, and we've hired her to work in our strategic projects department, and we're really proud of her that she's joined the Kalamazoo Board of Trustees. She's wonderful. And, you know, I mean, all of our Kalamazoo Posse alums are wonderful, but we're very proud of her.
Any question that I didn't ask you that you would like to share?
No, I think that Kalamazoo College in particular is a very special place. It's an institution that knows the power of community, and it feels it feels very warm when you walk onto that campus. And I think that's because the students who go there are so committed to building community. But I also think from Eileen Oyelaren to Jorge Gonzalez, the leadership from the president's office has been powerful in making that happen. And so we feel very lucky to work with Kalamazoo.
Obviously, every school doesn't have this program, but there are certain concepts that other colleges could benefit from knowing, like making a campus more inviting for urban students. Is there some advice you could offer?
I think that the colleges and universities that work to build diversity into everything they do on campus are the ones that will succeed the most. The institutions that have faculty and administrators and students who are not afraid to talk about the really hard issues, and we have a lot of really hard issues that we're dealing with today, issues related to race and gender and class and religion and politics. We need to talk about these things, and we need to feel like we can do that in the classroom as well as outside of the classroom. And those institutions will have more success dealing with challenges when they come up, when it's become a normal part of their culture. I think the cohort model is also powerful. As you were saying before, you know, kids who feel like they are part of a group or a community have automatic support from each other. And that can be, that can happen naturally and organically, but it can also happen through infrastructure that's part of the institutional strategy.
Ms. Beal, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Posse Foundation founder and president Deborah Beal is Kalamazoo College's commencement speaker this Sunday. For details and more about the Posse Foundation, visit WMUK.org. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.